One of the many things the internet changed is how we get our news. If we can get news in just a few clicks, why bother opening a newspaper physically or wading through a broadcast newscast? And then there's social media, where you get your information from your group of friends. That is the area that concerns our first guest today. Nicole Smith-Dahman is an assistant professor at the University of Oregon, working in the School of Journalism. She has particular concerns about news from Facebook. Dr. Dahman, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
So let's start with how common it is for us to get news from Facebook and social media. I imagine this is continually on the rise.
It is. It's an increasing trend that we're seeing. So a recent survey by Pew found that 62% of U.S. adults get news from Facebook, with 44% of those getting news on a very regular basis. So clearly more and more people are turning to Facebook as a source of news.
Well, is it a primary source of news or an only source of news? Because, I mean, a lot of us do get some information
sure.
from Facebook. I'm not kidding when I say that a friend put a picture of his dog looking glum on Facebook last year to announce the death of a famous person. But my response was then to go look for real news about that famous person dying.
Exactly, Jeffrey. And that's my kind of point, I think, about Facebook. Yes, we can absolutely get some valuable pieces of information. I get a lot of great information from Facebook, but the key is that can't be your only source of news. It's really upon us to still seek out independent sources of news and to gain more information and more depth of information about what we may see or hear on Facebook.
So is your issue primarily with people depending upon Facebook or how Facebook manages the news or both?
Oh, that's a great question. And let me just also say, you know, I don't know that I have an issue with people getting Facebook news from Facebook. It's just something we need to learn more about as audiences and be aware of two things. First, how Facebook operates, and then thinking about how we may use Facebook ourselves. So I think it's important for audiences to understand that what you see on Facebook is dictated by computer-generated code, computer-generated content, what we call algorithms. So a computer is essentially deciding what you see on Facebook based on your likes, your dislikes, how you respond, what you comment on, what you click on.
Now, I read your piece on Quartz about Facebook and the censoring of an iconic picture from the
sure.
Vietnam War. And anybody who was alive in the 60s when I was remembers this picture. Talk to us about what the picture was about and what Facebook chose to do.
Right. So that was a really interesting situation that brought to light some of what these Facebook algorithms do and where they are flawed. So one of the concerns I have with Facebook is that Facebook algorithms can censor content, meaning they delete content that we see based on what they call their community standards. So in this case, Facebook took down a post that included Nick Ut's Pulitzer Prize-winning photo of a young girl screaming out in horrors following a napalm burn in the Vietnam War. And certainly, as you mentioned, that's an iconic image. It's one of the most known images across the globe. And so Facebook's concern was that it violated community standards because she was naked. But in this case, the nudity was not gratuitous. It was not obscene. She was naked because her clothes were burning onto her flesh and she was ripping them from her body. And this image really helped to wake people up to the horrors and reality of the Vietnam War. And so in the case of Facebook censoring that image, they really attempted to change our memory of that event. And you may make the argument, well, yes, that photo was taken, you know, decades ago. But the reality is, you know, we still live in a world in which we have children being injured on a daily basis, Syria, for example, from conflict. And so one of the points that I think is incredibly important here is, again, yes, this photo took place a long time ago, but it's more important than ever that we still have that historical record and that we see images like that today.
So after people complained about the picture's removal, how did Facebook respond?
Right. So initially, Facebook defended their decision. They said, we're going to leave it down. It violated our standards. Several days later, though, they did actually go back and reverse the decision, and they said, we're going to revisit how our algorithms operate. But the point, again, and this is an important thing for audiences to understand, and I think, again, it speaks to this growing need that we have for media and news literacy in the age of social media and, you know, again, digital news sources, is that there's been other examples of Facebook manipulating content, perpetuating false stories. And so we just have to remember, be wary of what we see on Facebook and know that you're not getting the full picture.
With the picture in particular of Kim Phuc, is the policy still the same, therefore this could happen again?
So, yes. So they said they are revisiting their policy. One of the questions I have, too, is, you know, what might a Facebook algorithm decide next? Might they decide an image or a news story is too graphic? Or might they censor some sort of Facebook Live video that is actually working now to bear witness to certain events and, again, contributing to our public discourse? But in this case, again, all these things that Facebook is doing, manipulating content, censoring content, perpetuating false stories, in my opinion, just contributes to what we call this age of truthiness and this age of false information, and ultimately sort of this, you know, some of the political polarization that we see today.
Just as an aside, I understand you met Kim Phuc, the girl in the picture who's now a very much grown woman. She sounds like she's very much at peace.
I did, and it was absolutely, you know, one of the most, I would say, significant, important events in my life to be able to have the opportunity to hear her story firsthand and to be able to speak with her and to hear her, again, account of the horrors of that day and not just the effect of the war on her life, but being known across the globe as the girl in the photo. But, you know, she's so wise when she speaks and how she has found peace with that situation, and she's learned that over time, she's used that sort of notoriety that the photo brought her to work as an advocate for peace.
Nicole Smith-Dahman is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an assistant professor of visual communication at the University of Oregon. We're talking about getting news through Facebook. She has some concerns about that. Maybe you do, too. Talk about how you get your news with us, about how much of that mix might be social media these days, and if you do see things on social media, how you respond. 800-838-3760 to join the discussion by phone. You can send emails as well to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned about some other things that Facebook has done far away from just the manipulation of this picture. There was, in fact, an issue with Facebook manipulating news feeds in January of 2012. What was going on there?
Yeah, so that was something that actually came to light several years after, but it was found out that Facebook intentionally manipulated the news feeds of 700,000 users. And so what they did was they skewed these users' news feeds to either be predominantly positive, happy news or predominantly sad, negative news, with the intent to manipulate those emotional reactions and then see how users responded. And that was just a grossly unethical manipulation. This was done without users' content, without users' knowledge, and without users' consent of this situation.
Do the users even know today if they were included in part of that?
My understanding is that it had not been made clear whose feeds were and were not manipulated. And again, it's one of those things that audiences need to understand. Yes, Facebook can be a wonderful source of information and connection in our lives, but anything that we contribute to Facebook, anytime we click, anytime we like, comment, you know, add a new news source, the Facebook algorithms are tracking all of that and feeding it into their data machine that, again, ultimately controls what we may see or not see. It's also interesting in terms of how users approach Facebook. So by what sites we may choose to follow, by which sites we may choose to, you know, hide what we like, what we don't like. An interesting project that the Wall Street Journal did this summer, they did a project called Blue Feed, Red Feed, and they showed what the news feeds of users who may be predominantly conservative or predominantly liberal may look like. And so in essence there, rather than getting a diversity of perspectives and contributing to political discourse, what we see is what we call this echo chamber, where you're just seeing sources of information that reinforce ideas you may already have.
But given the way the algorithms work within Facebook and other social media, your choices are going to dictate what shows up there. I mean, it's essentially you're getting a feedback loop of the things that you've expressed an interest in before, right?
Exactly, to some degree. And then Facebook, too. I mean, no matter how often I set my Facebook news feed to be newest first, it will always go back to that most popular stories, right? It's trying again to control my experience, to some degree giving us this sort of false impression that we're in control, and ultimately those algorithms have a lot of say in what we see.
Now, I know with browsers, for example, you can clear the cookies, and often you'll see an immediate change in the advertisements that come along with that. You don't have any such mechanism with Facebook, do you?
Again, Facebook, again, gives some sort of semblance of control in that you can like things and say, by default, I want to see this first, or I want to see this pop up, you know, predominantly in my news feed. I want to see less of this. I don't like this ad. So it gives us some choice, but again, in my experiences, I've not always seen that choice be reflected accurately and then what I see later on down the road.
Would it be... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, it's an interesting perspective to think about because, you know, Facebook defends a lot of what it does based on the fact that it is a private company. And, yes, Facebook is a private company, and it has the legal right to do what it wants. So, again, the argument that I'm making here is audiences must be aware from a media news literacy perspective what's going on with Facebook. And it's also an interesting perspective to see how Facebook may respond later on down the road. I mean, this is a company now that's only been around for 12 years and wasn't really available to everyone publicly until about 8 or 9 years ago. So it will be interesting to see how Facebook responds to this. But one of the arguments that I make, and I think it's important here, is that Facebook really has a moral responsibility to think about its role in contributing to, information seeking.
It's an important part to remember, though, is it is it's a private company
it
and
is.
We're playing on its site. Nicole Smith-Dahman is an assistant professor at the University of Oregon, assistant professor of visual communication at the J School. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about news through social media and what to make of it and, or more appropriately, what it makes of us. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So you say that we must hold Facebook accountable. How do we go about doing that for Facebook?
Oh, that's a great question. So in the example of Nick Gut's photo of Kim Fook being removed, the person who originally posted it held them accountable by, you know, calling them out on it, writing about it. The editor of that publication wrote a full-page, front-page editorial calling Facebook out on it. You know, someone like myself, an academic who contributes to public discourse, I wrote an article on Quartz about it. I've spoken with other news outlets about what's going on, again, in the attempt to help audiences understand that what you're seeing on Facebook may not always be, again, the full picture.
How then, Nicole, do we hold ourselves accountable, though? I mean, at least a few times a month, I get
sure.
a Facebook friend peddling something that I doubt to be true. I find the
sure.
Snopes story debunking it and attach.
Sure. Yes, and again, I think, you know, the two parts of this are, you know, what Facebook does, we need to be aware of that, and then think about ourselves, how we use Facebook as an audience. And again, I'm not suggesting that everyone run out and delete their Facebook accounts. Facebook has really become instrumental to my job in lots of different ways. So again, can play a very useful role in helping us connect with friends, family, as well as with news sources. We just, again, need to be cautious about how we approach. So I do think it is, to some degree, imperative that we do attempt to call out false news stories when we see them.
Instrumental to my job. That's interesting. How are some of the ways in which you use Facebook as an assistant professor?
Sure. So, for example, I do follow some news sources on Facebook, and so I may get an article from them. I bookmark a lot of things, or what they call save, so I will often save articles that I see that I want to bring up in class. I also use Facebook to share information with colleagues across the country. You know, I'm a member of a number of Facebook groups, of which some of the academic circles I'm involved in, as well as resharing information on Facebook.
I notice when we're talking about trying to figure out what is real and what is not for the things that show up on Facebook, it was not that long ago that I saw somebody put up a Facebook post criticizing Snopes, which is one of the first places I go to debunk some of the stories I see other people put up on Facebook.
Sure,
it gets to the question of who can we trust?
Right, and that's a great question. That is one of those things today that is imperative, again, in the age of digital news and social media, and we are seeing growing distrust in the media. Some stats show that media trust is at an all-time low, and I think part of that is from misinformation, false information. Going back to news literacy, as audiences, we need to actively seek out diverse sources of what we would consider credible news. You know, we need to understand that everything we see on cable news is not news. Some of it is truly entertainment, and really understanding the differences between, you know, news sources that have what we would call kind of these core fundamental elements of journalism. So this obligation to truth, watchdog of power, independence, verifying facts, relevant storytelling, this proportional coverage. And again, ultimately, what is our responsibility to citizens? You know, journalism, as we call it, is the fourth estate, holding the powerful accountable. And we need to understand which sources are doing that and which ones are further contributing to the screaming and the noise rather than the light and the information.
It seems like in previous generations, you know, there was the, well, this is my newspaper or this is my TV station more recently.
Sure.
This is the place I get most of my news. Should people in this day and age be a little more omnivorous than that?
Well, of course, now with digital news and social media, we have the availability to get news from across the globe and to get it instantly. So we don't just have that newspaper coming to our doorstep or our handful of channels of evening news available to us. And so to a large degree, we have more information available to us than ever before. And that is tremendous. That's an incredibly exciting thing happening in journalism and communication today. Again, the concern is we also see growing false information, biased sources, as well as sources that are truly designed to be entertainment-driven and not reporting-driven.
Up to a point, Nicole, are we our own worst enemies at that? Because the fact is that we do seem to like the flavored news. I mean, Fox News has been extraordinarily successful since it launched 20 years ago this year because people like the fact that the news they're getting sounds like what they're thinking.
Sure. And again, there's so much we could talk about that. One of the things there that's of concern is we are just going to those sources that reinforce our pre-existing ideas. There's something I reference a lot. It's this amusing ourselves to death notion that was first developed several decades ago, but I think it's more true now today than ever. We need to be very conscious of entertainment versus news and really being clear on those differences.
So just to cap things off here, it's okay to use Facebook for a news source, but not your only news source.
Sure. Again, I can get some great information on Facebook. There's a lot of great stuff out there. The keys, though, I think, are to be wary of the sources, you know, where is the information coming from, and to seek out a diversity of sources and know that not everything that you're seeing on Facebook is a complete picture. And again, it's really important that audiences are doing their own research and finding out what, in fact, is credible and what is not.
All right. Pleasure to talk to you. Nicole Smith-Dahman is an assistant professor of visual communication at the University of Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
And thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
You bet.